I'm Glenn O'Jard from News in the North, and I'd like to thank you for coming along on this internet-only deep dive. This time around, I sat down with State House Representative Scott Kawasaki, and we talked about his support for House Bill 227, which would hold Alaskan internet service providers accountable to net neutrality rules. We also got into his thoughts on the direction of Alaskan politics and what he hoped would be his legacy as a lawmaker. Now, without further ado, let's get into it.
So I'm Representative Scott Kawasaki. I represent the interior, Fairbanks, Alaska. My start, actually, which you can't tell because we're on radio, there's a photo there with Representative Tom Bryce, who was also a member of this legislature back in 1997. I worked for him just 1 year. His staff person actually went off to law school. And he had a vacancy, needed somebody. 21 years old, do I want to sit my senior year in organic chemistry, or do I want to come down to Juneau and see what politics is all about? And I chose the political route. So I came down here, worked for a session, enjoyed politics a lot, got my degree in chemistry, biochemistry at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and then really just got right back into it. Started on the city council, was elected at 24 years old, served on the city council for 6 years, and now I just blink, and this is my 12th year in the state house.
Why do you find yourself so drawn to public service?
It's really the people. Fairbanks is known as the Golden Heart City, and in the Golden Heart City, we generally like each other. And it's sort of out of that passion to help people, to get to know one another as a neighbor, that really has drawn me to politics. I'll tell you, I had this story just the other day because it's 30 below in Fairbanks. It's freezing cold. There's a car on the side of the road. It has its hazard lights on. It doesn't matter what kind of car it is, what kind of bumper stickers they have on the back of their car. You'll have half a dozen cars line up. Hey, do you need help? Do you need help? Can I get you somewhere? Do you need gasoline? What do you need? And that's sort of what Fairbanks is all about. And I like to preserve that. I like to make sure that, you know, we can get out of the politics as usual that we tend to hear is happening in Washington, D.C., and talk about how we can work collaboratively in government.
Excellent. So on the subject of working collaboratively with government, I hear that this is a bipartisan bill. Is that correct?
Yeah, it originally started Senator Wilikowski and Senator Begich in the Senate. Myself and a handful of other members introduced both resolutions and now legislation dealing specifically with net neutrality. It really is a nonpartisan issue, especially when it comes to Alaska. Alaska is connected by large expanses of woods and forests and ice, and really sometimes the only way to get from one place to another is by communications, and that is through the internet. That's why net neutrality is such an important topic. It really does transcend boundaries when it comes to political leanings.
All right. So can you take us into the nuts and bolts of this bill?
The legislation is actually very simple. There's about 20 other states that have introduced legislation like this. Basically, what our legislation would do is slightly different. It would basically make it an unfair practice for an internet service provider to not adhere to net neutrality rules. So that is, we will say it's an unfair practice if an internet service provider like GCI or AT&T slows down, blocks, or otherwise redirects traffic, or if they charge more for certain sites. That is basically what we're doing. We're making it an illegal practice here, which is what net neutrality nationwide used to do.
So could you explain to someone who hasn't had a whole lot of education into the net neutrality bill or net neutrality in general, why this is so important?
Sure. It's really simple. The information superhighway could be thought of as a road, like Egan Drive down here in Juneau. And if you think about it, what net neutrality does is the same thing as what the road is. The road, whether you're driving a Subaru or an old Ford Tempo, you get to drive the road. You have to follow the basic rules like speed limit, having your lights on at night, those types of things. But otherwise, it's free, and your motions are not impaired by anything. That's what net neutrality is. The FCC's decision to repeal net neutrality basically says, well, geez, if you have a certain type of car, you might be able to drive faster. If you pay more, you might be able to drive faster or slower. And so really what that means is it impedes progress in terms of access to the internet. A internet service provider that's using the information highway could say, well, geez, if this person wants to go on Netflix, we're going to charge them more than what we subscribe to. Or if they want to get to Facebook, they're going to charge them more. If net neutrality isn't the law of the land, they could also not just charge more, but also slow down certain sites or speed up certain sites of which they politically agree with. Basically, right now, unless we have net neutrality, free speech is really at stake. And that's really boils down to. And I think the public should demand free speech. They should demand to be able to access any site on the web, regardless of what the internet service provider says.
Do you see any opposition to this bill?
Well, you know, in the state of Alaska, it might be a little different. I mean, I would suspect that internet service provider giants like AT&T come and lobby against this legislation. But we are such a vast state with such an incredible need for things like telemedicine, telehealth, education is being done online. Basically, this bill will become a bipartisan bill, a bipartisan piece of legislation in the end because of those needs and because our state is so vast. And the needs for technology and the needs for access are such an important thing for the state.
I heard this notion that if net neutrality, if somehow we weren't able to attain it and the internet service providers could do whatever they want, then it would actually create a freer market for a better internet service provider to come along that isn't going to charge you for Facebook or isn't going to charge you for Netflix. And because of their reaction to that market that they're going to win, how would you respond to someone that says we need to keep the market as unregulated as possible and thus net neutrality is not the answer?
Well, just like we regulate utilities, the Juno Electric Cooperative is a great example. It's sort of the same way. If we don't have regulation over certain things like rates, companies can basically gouge. And really what it comes down to is that because our pool of providers, internet service providers in Alaska is so small, the need for some sort of net neutrality law means even more. We're not going to have suddenly a new company come in and decide to put billions of dollars into the ground and try and compete with somebody like GCI or AT&T. We just simply won't have small providers come up to do that. That's why net neutrality is such an important thing, especially in Alaska.
And then what do you see for the future of yourself and politics in Alaska?
Well, I'm sure as listeners know, it's been a pretty tumultuous several years. Legislators have been really unable to come to an agreement. I'll tell you, my first couple of years in the legislature under Governor Palin with Speaker John Harris from Valdez, we really talked more collegially. We really had bipartisan legislation move very quickly, and then the fringe on one side or the other basically didn't pass. Right now, though, we're looking a lot more like Washington, D.C. than we are Alaska. And I don't know if it's because of the network news. I don't know what's really polarizing us, but I think we need to get back and learn how to play well in the sandbox. I think the future is bright for Alaska, but we have to have lawmakers and a Senate and a House that's willing to work together, willing to work with this nonpartisan governor, independent governor. You know, for the first time in a long time, we have an independent governor, a Democratic lieutenant governor, a bipartisan working group in the House. And I think we can do things like work together on these really important bipartisan issues if we just put down our partisan blinders. I think that's the most important thing. I've been proud to be a part of a group in the majority coalition that has Republicans, Democrats, and all of the state's independent representatives.
So how do you propose we work to bridge this divide?
Well, I'll just say what I do, and I think some legislators do this better than others. I think there's some legislators that just will stand up, rail against the other side, point fingers, and forget to look at themselves in the mirror. What I've done is always tried to work closely with Republican colleagues, both in the House and the Senate, to try and find some common ground. And I think if we remember that if we're pointing our fingers at each other or at other people, instead of actually rolling up our sleeves and getting the job done, that's really what it boils down to. We need to quit pointing fingers. We need to roll up our sleeves. We need to come to some consensus on some of these major issues that are facing the state of Alaska. I've tried to do that my entire career, and I'll continue to work with anybody who wants to work with me. That's why I was proud to join this bipartisan coalition of Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. It's such an important thing to put our party affiliations aside. When it comes to elections, that's different. But while we're down here, we represent constituencies across the state. That's what I'll continue to do, is continue fighting for some sort of equity within the state, working with folks, whether they're Republicans or Independents.
Wrapping up this interview, if there's one thing that you could point that you hope to be remembered by in your legacy, what do you hope that is?
Jeez, wow, that's a tough one. I think leaving a legacy is something that's very important for a legislator. It's not going to be a particular piece of legislation like net neutrality. It's not going to be a certain bill. Once we're gone, everybody's going to forget that. But I think being remembered as a person who was able to mend fences and work beyond the partisanship is something that I could be very, very proud of. It's something that I could say, that's my legacy, and people will be able to say, you know, that guy, I don't even remember if he was a Democrat or Republican, because he votes both ways depending upon the issue. And I think that's, you know, what I'd like to see on my headstone, which hopefully won't come soon.
All right, this has been excellent. Is there anything that you'd like to add to close up this interview?
Well, again, you came from a social media before you came into sort of more mainstream media. And I just think that's such an important thing to point out as we're talking about net neutrality and ensuring that we have an open and transparent and accessible internet. The FCC's changes in December of last year basically upend those principles. And if you want free speech, if you want openness, you want transparency, and you want equal access, no matter if you live in Barrow or Brooklyn, then net neutrality is the way to go.
I want to truly thank Representative Scott Kawasaki for his time and thought on this important issue. If you're also concerned about the future of the internet, get in contact with your senators and representatives and let them know. And while you're at it, give this article or podcast a share so that your friends can be better educated about it as well. I'm Glenn Ojard, and truly, thank you for coming along on this internet-only deep dive. I'm going to have a whole lot more for you soon, but until then, this has been News of the North. Free to see every story, every day at KINYRadio.com.